This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey guys, it's Alana and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. All right, you guys, I am so, so, so excited right now. We have such an incredible guest, Victoria Alario. Welcome to Seeing Other People.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I feel like there is so much. First of all, okay, you guys, Victoria is the host of For the Girls podcast. She is a confidence coach. She is a content creator. She is just incredible. And everybody needs to like pause this episode right now. Go and listen to For the Girls. Maybe if you want to listen to our episode of For the Girls, absolutely. But also like just go binge For the Girls and then come back and listen to this. It's seriously so amazing. And I'm such a big fan of the content that you put out there and just everything you say. I find myself like nodding along. So it's an honor to have you.
Oh my God. First of all, I'm honored. That was so sweet. Thank you so much. And yes, like she just said, we have an episode out already together on my page where I interviewed Alana. So you definitely want to hear that one.
Yeah. So tell everybody on Seeing Other People who you are beyond just being the host of For the Girls and a confidence coach, but also talk about that because what does that mean?
Yes. Well, you know, confidence coaching, I think was like not, I personally never really heard of it, but I've heard of everybody, you know, coaches doing all different types of things. And so I really got my start because I was doing business coaching. So I started doing that since 2018. I mean, I started doing social media content since I was in college. So 2015. So I've been in like the social media space for quite a while, really like focused on like the fashion and the beauty. And then, like I said, I was doing business coaching and I had worked with hundreds, I mean, thousands of girls, literally like all across social media. And then what I really noticed was that no matter what I was coaching in business, whether it was like, you know, building an audience or creating better content or selling a product, like no matter what the topic was on that I was talking about, my forefront of everything was always about confidence, because confidence is that's it for everything. You can do just about anything that you really want to do with confidence. So I feel like that was always the underlying answer to every single question I was ever asked. And so it really turned into me focusing more on that aspect. And that was when For the Girls came out, which was 2021. And I really started to like pivot into focusing less on business and more on just like personal development and self-love and confidence and, you know, self-esteem and all that. And then from For the Girls, it turned into people asking me to give them advice on their own situations. And so that's when I started offering private calls for coaching, you know, for confidence coaching and just like advice and whatnot, in really helping women like take their power back and build their self-esteem and whatnot. And so that was like, everything was a very smooth transition from like the business coaching to talking about confidence to then making it a podcast to then girls reaching out and asking for advice and it turning into confidence coaching. And so, yeah, I mean, I do all the things. And of course, I'm on TikTok giving, you know, advice there on a daily basis. But like I said, I've been in the social media space for a while. So I love our like area of work. I love what we do. And so, yeah, but me as a person, I'm just a girl, you know, I'm just a girl. That's really it. Like I'm actually like a pretty simple girl. I'm a homebody, very like family oriented girl. And so, yeah, like I feel like my work stuff is the cool part about me, but I'm also just like, just a girl.
I feel like in so many ways we're very similar, and like we both found what we're doing now, which feels like what we're meant to be doing and feels so right, but we almost like fell into it. Like it wasn't the plan, but it made sense, and we kept digging further and further into something that we felt brought us joy and fulfillment, but also helped other people. And now here we are.
I mean, that's literally it. I feel like I'm a service-based worker. Like that's just what I love to do. I love to help others. I feel like my work that I get to do it has to feel like it's my soul's purpose. Like I feel like it has to be like what I'm put on this earth to do. Like I worked in fashion previously. I went to college. I got my job in the city, you know. I did all the internships. I was a PR girl, the whole thing, and I was just like so unfulfilled, not to mention underpaid, but just more, mostly unfulfilled. And when it really turned into like me quitting my job and just like betting on myself and focusing on myself, that's when I was like, no, I can really build a career on being, you know, of service to others. And I feel like to this day, like I am just a people person. I thoroughly enjoy what I do, no matter how many years go by, or even if it feels redundant at certain points. I just feel like my whole career is like, my biggest reward is when girls send me a text and say like, I did this or this changed because of the work that we did. Like, to me, it's like impact over income 100% of the way. So yes, I feel very blessed, but really, really very grateful that I get to work with so many people and help so many people.
You took the words out of my mouth. Like I couldn't have articulated that better. Okay. So I'm excited to talk about confidence, because that is obviously a huge part of not just dating, but also being in a relationship. And it's something that I know so many of my listeners struggle with. And I definitely struggled with it. I'm curious, can people actually learn how to be confident? Or is confidence something that it's just fake it till you make it?
Okay, first of all, fake it till you make it is my least favorite quote on the planet. I always say face it till you make it. Like, not ooh, fake it till you make it.
Love. I've never heard that before and I'm obsessed.
Well, that's just, to me, I feel like, you know, everybody sucks at first, and everybody, you know, we all go through the growing pains and whatnot. And I think that authenticity and that realness is how you really get the most desired result. For me, with confidence, my go-to saying, if you listen to For the Girls, if you follow me on social media, my tried and true saying for years and years and years is that confidence is a byproduct of action, which means you don't get confident and then take action. You take action and then you get confident. So you go through the trial and error, you take the messy action, you fuck up every now and then, but doing that once, twice, three times, four times, then you become an expert in certain things. Then you become at least more comfortable. You become at least more used to it. So that's why I say face it till you make it, because it's like, you know, we all have to start somewhere. We all have to go on. We all have to be awkward on the first couple dates that we go on. We all have to, you know, really learn ourselves, but we're only going to learn ourselves through experience. Another thing that I say is like your best qualities come from your worst experiences, because it's like you're not going to really get confident in a situation until you learn from a pretty shitty experience, right? Like, so I think, yes, people can build confidence the more action that they take. And I also think that confidence is a mindset that you can start to like learn and tap into. First, you want to unlearn all the insecurities that you picked up on over the years. But then as you're working through that, you want to kind of reprogram your brain to what my other saying is just, I only want what wants me. Everything I want wants me back. If you don't want me, I don't want you either. Like that's just my mindset. So rejection doesn't faze me. I'm not bothered by if something can't be reciprocated. It's just like, well, then that's not meant for me because everything I want wants me back. And so if you can tap into that mindset, anytime that something doesn't work out with someone, you're like, okay, well, then I don't really want this anyway. This is not meant for me because what I want wants me too.
How do you get yourself, or how did you personally get yourself to have that mindset in your own dating life? Because I think that's something that everybody wants to feel and wants to believe. But when you meet somebody and you really like them, or mm-hmm. you're suddenly obsessing over them, or you're just so sick of being single, I know I felt so many times where like, okay, I can tell that they're not into me, but like I can convince them. And I know I wasted so much time. Like I begged people to stay and I hated how it felt. It was the worst feeling in the world. But for some reason I felt like, well, if I don't get them, then I'm screwed and I'm going to be alone forever. So how do you work towards that mindset of like, I only want what wants me. And if this doesn't want me back, then it's not meant for me.
Well, I think, of course, they say when you know, but I also say when you don't know, you know. And what that means is just like, if there's even that little bit of confusion of like, or just that sake of, you know, like you said, having to beg somebody and it's just, it's not certain, it's not sure, it's not secure, it's not, there's no safety in that, then to me, like, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. And if it's not right, then it isn't right. So if you don't know, and if you're all up in the air and it's just not like a sure thing, then you know, like, you know, this isn't the thing. And I always say that we actually talked a lot about security on the episode where I interviewed Alana. And it's funny because there was just so many like overlaps of things that she said, the things that I've always said too. And I'm like, okay, like a same thing you just said, I'm like nodding along. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And so we share a lot of similar takes. And so with that, I always said the two things that would make me in any case, whether it be dating, career, whatever, personal life, professional life, I need to feel one, that true 100% like confidence and security that this is the right thing. And two is that it needs to feel reciprocated so that the amount of effort I put in, I also get back. The amount of excitement I have, I also feel back. Like when it comes to dating, if I feel like, or if I felt at the time, like somebody wasn't urgent about me, they weren't excited about me, then to me, that was a feeling I did not like. Especially if I felt like I really liked somebody, if you're like constantly thinking about this person, you constantly, you know, you're urgent about wanting to see them again. And then they just kind of make you feel neutral. It's like you say that you went on a first date and you're like, okay, I really like this person. Like I'm really eager to see them again. But then you don't really hear from them. They don't really plan a second date. Maybe they do, but they're just taking their sweet time. And it just kind of like makes you feel like not reciprocated, you know? So in that case, I think those are the things that I was able to really tell myself throughout dating, like it's this or it's something better. So if it's not this, then something better is coming. And I knew it wasn't this because with that confusion and the insecurities and that lack of feeling reciprocated, I was able to tell myself like, well, this is not my person. This is not my destiny. This is not my fate because I know damn well I deserve better than this. So yeah, if it's not this, it's something better. So it's definitely not this. So it'll be something better. And I was able to change my mindset around from being like so upset of being single to being like excited because it's like I'm that much closer to exactly what I want.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol, and so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair, and honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months, and trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up, and I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted, because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Absolutely. Every time it doesn't work out with someone, you're still learning so much along the way. Mm-hmm. And you are always getting one step closer to finding mm-hmm. what is right for you and what feels right. You mentioned something in one of your episodes about paying attention to how you feel about them mm. versus how they make you feel. And I thought that was so profound, because we are so quick to put people on a pedestal and think this guy, this girl, this person is the greatest thing in the world and I need them to be mine. Meanwhile, we could feel like absolute shit and so anxious and on edge all the time. So I feel like that's just so, so important for us to start thinking about and asking ourselves.
Oh, 100%. I think back to times where I had felt a certain way about people, men, guys, boys, whatever, based on what? Surface level things, the way they look, the way they're funny, they're charming. Like, you know, you develop feelings and you start to romanticize people based on things that quite frankly have nothing to do with you or your relationship with them. It's simply based on things that you could probably find in a million other places, right? There's going to be tons of guys that you're attracted to. There's going to be tons of guys that can make you laugh. There's going to be tons of guys that are sweet and charming and generous and all these things. So you're liking them based on surface level traits, when, like you said, like you're sitting there feeling anxious or you're feeling down and whatnot. So when on the flip side, it's like, but how do they actually make you feel? Not how do you feel based on the surface? How do they actually make you feel? Well, he bails. He's inconsistent. He can't commit. He won't commit to you. He's not sure. He tells you constantly, I'm too busy to talk. I'm too busy for texts. He doesn't make romantic gestures, you know, no matter how big or small. Maybe he's not a gentleman. Maybe he doesn't treat you like a lady, whatever the case might be. Or maybe he just strings you along. You know, he hits you up on Friday. What are you doing tonight? Like, that's kind of the guy. And it doesn't make you feel great. Makes you feel pretty shitty. Yet you still feel all the ways about this guy because of what? Because of actually what? So if you can reframe your mind when it comes to that guy that you're obsessing over to saying, instead of liking him based on how I feel about him and his traits or whatnot, let me start to like him based on how he actually makes me feel. And girls, spoiler alert, it doesn't end up pretty. It does not. No.
It doesn't, but it saves you so much heartache if mm-hmm. you can figure that out when you're starting to feel icky about something, when you're starting to feel like, oh, like this sucks. I feel like I'm waiting around for him, or I feel like this always keeps happening. I keep feeling disappointed. Like, I know sometimes it's hard to say I deserve more, but you do deserve more. Mm-hmm. Like, you do. Even if you don't fully know your worth yet, even if you're not confident, even if you're worried about starting from square one and getting back out there and you're already 5 dates in with this person, if they're not treating you in a way that makes you feel secure and safe and comfortable, it's not it. Mm-hmm. It's not it.
No, I listen, if you could tell yourself it's this or something better, it'll change your mind completely. You will start to feel so much more optimism when things don't work out. Instead of feeling, like you said, disappointed and let down, it'll turn into like, it's fine because there's something so much better on the way. And I also think like, when girls are single for a long time, and I found myself doing this at certain points too, when girls are single for a really long time, they give the guys that they're seeing, whatever, way too much credit. Men are not stupid, right? Men are human beings. So he knows that he told you, like, they'll remind the guy, like, oh, so when are you taking me to that place you told me you were going to take me to? Like, he knows he told you, yeah, I'm going to take you out, blah, blah, blah. He knows that he has not followed up to do so. He knows that he has not formally asked you. You know how many times guys are just saying things, you know, whatever. Even girls do the same thing. So if a guy tells you like, oh, there's this place I really want to take you, blah, 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 and then you just never hear from him. He never formally asks you. He never makes the plan. He never sets a date. Girls are like, but you know what? He's been so busy. Let me just like remind him. And to me, I always felt like that's not how my love story is supposed to go. So even though there were times definitely in the past where not to say that you can't text them first. Even with my boyfriend, I never had an issue texting first, but it's more of like the context. It's like, if I ever found myself reminding a guy that like he told me he was going to take me somewhere, that's when I was able to like give myself the reality check of like, okay, he's not a 2-year-old. He knows that he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And I think that's when integrity became probably the most important trait that I looked for in a guy, you know, when I met my boyfriend, like leading up to meeting my boyfriend. And that was one of the biggest things that I loved about him or liked about him in the early stages, was that he just did what he said he was going to do. I didn't have to baby him. I didn't have to remind him. I didn't have to lead him to the water and make a drink. I didn't have to hold his hand. Like, if he told me he was going to do something, he just did it. And those are the things that create that security that we talk so much about. And so whenever I lacked that feeling and I felt like, you know, I had to remind guys or whatever the case, I just started to realize they lack integrity. And that's just not what I want in a partner.
Yeah. And I really like what you said about like, you weren't afraid to text him first, but you weren't having to remind him of things. Right. And it's not like, I think there's a difference between like texting somebody first or texting somebody first every single time to always make the plan, where if you don't text them, you're never going to hear from them.
Yeah.
And it's noticing the difference and being able to take note of that effort that you're putting in that's not being reciprocated.
Yeah, like I never minded. Like if I knew somebody liked me, or you know, if I wasn't that delusional, I was perfectly fine with texting somebody first, because sometimes guys like to feel too, like, you know, you're
Yeah.
thinking of them too. And my boyfriend in the beginning used to say that too, because I always was like, where's my good morning text? It's already 9:30 in the morning. Like, you're not gonna tell me that you're still sleeping. And he'd be like, every now and then you could just like say good morning, I'm thinking of you. And you know, then I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. But there are definitely times where, like, I think because of so much like letdown or even just like trauma and PTSD from the past, where you feel like I can't, like I cannot do that, like I can't text them first. And I really I don't mind that, because I don't mind doing that, because you know, dating is not about the games. Just be real. Like, if you want to talk to somebody, just talk to them. But I was always like, my thing was always set in like, I'm never going to be texting someone to like make plans that they literally told me they were going to make. Like, that's where I draw the
Right.
line.
Exactly. We want to feel secure. We want to feel like
Pursued. Like, I want to
pursued,
feel like a
totally.
lady. I want to feel like you're my man who's like gonna be make romantic gestures. Like I said, no matter how big or small, the romantic gesture could literally be him making dinner reservations. Like, I
Right.
want to feel courted or pursued.
And that's not asking for too much. That's just
No.
asking for what you want, which
Yeah.
brings me to a topic I'm really excited to talk about, which is, what does safety and comfort and security, what does that look like and feel like in a relationship?
Well, of course, it could feel and look like so many different things to so many people based on, you know, what that actually means to you. But for me, I think going to exactly what you just said, it doesn't mean you're asking for too much. It just means you're asking for what you want. I was in that position so many times where I had to remind myself, I'm not asking for too much. I'm just asking the wrong person. And it would be based on the response or the reaction or, you know, what I would get from somebody based on just my asking for my needs to be met, no matter how big or small. I could think about a time where I was seeing somebody and I was like excited about a certain thing, and I had asked them an idea. I was like, will you come with me to do X, Y, and Z? It was definitely inconvenient for them to do so, but I was like, will you come with me to do X, Y, Z? And then we road trip. You come with me. I was the one driving and I was doing it regardless because I had to do it. And so I was like, would you come and just like be with me? And I think we could actually have like so much fun doing it. And I'll never forget how they were like, I'm so confused. Why would I do that? Like, I'm already in this area. And I was just like, well, because like I have to do it and I would love for you to do it with me. Like, it might not be the most convenient thing in the world, but it wasn't a person who was gonna need to like take time off of work or anything like that. It was just something that I honestly got like so excited. I like went to sleep thinking about it, like, oh my God, this would be like such
So
a,
fun and
yeah,
great
it would be
time
such
to
a
spend together.
progressive moment for us. Like, we would have great
Yeah.
quality time. It would like progress things. And so when I woke up in the morning, I was so excited to like ask them, and I thought they were gonna be like, I'm so down. And when they were like, why would I, like, I'm so confused. Like, why would I do that? Like, I'm already over here. I'm like, this is not, you know, if that's how I feel, that's what you, how you make me feel in response to me being excited about certain things.
Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive-compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started seeing other people, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just 1 pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Do you feel like you're at a crossroads in your love life? Maybe you're in the thick of modern dating, or you're wondering if the person you're with is your person. Whatever your situation, I have the perfect podcast for you. It's called Dateable, your insider's look into modern dating, hosted by Julie Kraftchik and Yue Xu. They talk about it all, from why you're choosing the wrong partner and how to stop, to how to actually go from matching on the app to getting on a date, to securing your anxious attachment, and everything in between. Julie and Yue have been on Seeing Other People, and I've been a guest on their podcast too, so if you're looking for a great starting point, check out my episode of Dateable, season 15, episode 10, Is It Chemistry or Anxiety? Guys, this podcast is incredibly relatable, insightful, and oftentimes hilarious. Wherever you start, Dateable will help you feel inspired to date differently and create a love life that works for you. You can subscribe and listen to episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday. So check out Dateable and thank me later.
Compared to my boyfriend, who I'm in a relationship with, when like he knows how much I love Christmas and Christmas in the City, and like I wanted to do like a little bit of everything, and I'm like, and keep in mind I was leaving, I was going away for a trip on December 14th, so I wanted to do just about everything you could possibly do in New York City, and managed to get it done before I left on the 14th. And I'll never forget like how he came to my house so excited to tell me for like that Saturday before I left the plan that he made. It started from like 11 o'clock in the morning. It went all the way down. We saw the Rockettes. It went down to like 10 o'clock at night, down to us like, okay, then after all that, we'll get ice cream. It was like the whole entire day, ice skating, Rockettes. We're going to go to see this. We're going to go to see the tree. We're going to go to do that. And I'm like, that's exactly the energy. Like I wanted someone who never made me feel silly in having my needs met, never make me feel like I'm asking for too much or I'm excited about too much. Not only was he willing to organize and make these plans, but he was excited to tell me the plans that he made because he knew that it meant something to me. And when I look at those two situations, like the one I just mentioned and that, I'm like, that is the lack of safety versus the full presence of safety and security.
1,000%. I feel like I had so many similar experiences too, where there were things that I'd really want to do with somebody, or I had an idea and I felt even like afraid to mention the idea to them. Yeah. Like, well, what if they think that's like too aggressive, or that like we're not there yet, or why would I be asking them to do this? When now, I think it was my fifth date with Jake. We both loved The Bachelor, and so we came up with this idea of let's do like bachelor style dates and write date cards for each other.
Oh my God, that is so cute.
Literally our like fifth and sixth dates, we did date cards for each other, and we planned whole surprise date days. And I don't even know whose idea it was. Like, it probably was my idea, but like it didn't even feel like this thing I was asking him to do, because he was just as excited for it. And we still do them now. We did one less than a month ago around the holidays. He planned a holidate for me, that he called it. And our anniversary and Valentine's Day are in the same week. And so I'm planning one for him. And it's like that started so early on, where with so many other guys at that point, I'd be afraid to even say, like, let's get sushi.
Oh, the amount of times where I have wanted to say to guys that I was seeing, like, let's like stay in and order food and whatnot. And then I just ended up doing it alone, because I'm like, fuck it. I don't feel like having my night ruined. Like, I don't feel like being let down. Like, I don't feel like being pissed off. And exactly what you said, like, there's so many times where you're just afraid to mention it because you don't know how they're going to respond. And then you have your partner, like how you have Jake and I have Joe. And it's just like that feeling of I can ask you anything. And it's like the limit does not exist. First of all, yeah. I love your whole like bachelorette thing, like bachelorette like dates. That is the cutest thing. And I also had to note, because I feel like we have so many common things. Our 1 year first date anniversary, not like our official anniversary, but like first date anniversary, my birthday and Valentine's Day all in the same time. February 1st.
That's so stressful. That's so hot.
But it reminded me, because you're saying the same thing, like your anniversary and Valentine's Day. February 1st, I'm actually taking him, because like I said, Valentine's Day, birthday, you know, the whole thing coming up. So he took me out. He took me on our first date February 1st. So I literally, I'm not even kidding, booked the reservation back at the same place weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And I'm like, I'm taking you to the same place on February 1st. We're going to go like recreate, like relive our first date. So like same thing, like you get excited, I get excited, he gets excited, he gets excited. Like you just, that is when you know, like this is the one.
Yeah. Wait, treasure that you get to do that. We did that. So we went to Quality Eats on the Upper East Side for our first date, and we went back for every anniversary. We went back for like any special occasion, and we got engaged there, and they just closed.
Wait, they did?
Yeah.
Wait, isn't that like an amazing steakhouse?
Yes.
Wait, so Quality
Italian and Quality Bistro are still open, but Quality Eats in the West Village and on the Upper East Side closed.
Wait, I swear to God, it's on my – I have a list of restaurants I want to go to, and I swear to God that Quality Eats is on there. I don't know if he knows that.
You got
to
cross it off the list. We actually have – we took home our menu and our receipt from the last time there.
Wait, I'm definitely doing that with the receipt. He took me to Nobu for our first date, so we'll be going back to Nobu. So
nice. I'm making the effort. Oh my
God. And not to mention the fact that he doesn't even like sushi, but he's like, what do you like? And I was like, sushi. He's like, okay.
That's so nice.
So I will be doing – I like that receipt idea. Guys, I don't – no one will be able to see the screen, right? She just showed me the menu and the receipt. So. Yeah.
I'm literally so nostalgic and cheesy. Like, I have our bottle of tequila from our second date with like the rose he gave me on our fourth date.
I swear to God, we're the same person. I literally have a vase full of all dead roses from all the flowers he gave me.
One from each. And then I also started, once my friends started getting married, I would take a rose from any of their bouquets or whatever and dry it out. So I have this giant vase of roses that Jake gave me, and then from my friend's weddings.
Oh my God. We are like literally the same. I have our movie tickets too. So I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but like I need to start collecting more things. I got to get the receipts. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. That was the first receipt that we did, but I love it. And I'm so glad that we have it. Yeah, it was from our last night there.
But Quality Eats is like such a good restaurant. So I'm like actually so shocked.
So I know, I'm really upset. But so we made a reservation for Quality Bistro for Valentine's Day instead.
Okay.
We're just going.
I'm going to have Valentine's Day here because on Valentine's Day is typically like a prefix menu, yeah. I'd say. So I'm going to host it. Like I'm going to have him over and I'm going to cook and all that. And then on the weekend, we're going to go out.
Okay. Yeah. Dinner. So February 17th, we planned.
Oh my God. February 17th.
But realistically, we did this last year for Valentine's Day. We ordered in Sugarfish. So maybe we'll do that again.
That is a good idea. I love that your boyfriend likes, fiance, likes everything that you like. Like, I don't, for Sugarfish, Sugarfish is the box of sushi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not down with that.
Sad. I'm sorry.
He's like a shrimp tempura kind of guy. I'm like, okay,
that works. Well, we'll take what we can get. We'll take what we can get. Okay, what were we talking about?
I don't even know. Safety and security.
Well, love those. Those are good qualities. Those are good things to feel. Okay. When it comes to dating, a lot of people are afraid to even put themselves out there because they're afraid of getting rejected. Mm-hmm. And we know naturally, like, rejection is a part of the dating process. It's a part of life. Like, there's not a single successful person out there that hasn't been rejected or told no mm-hmm. 1,000 times. But what I think would be really helpful for the listeners to hear is how to not let someone's disinterest or someone rejecting you shake and shatter your confidence.
I mean, I actually literally have a podcast episode called Disinterest is Unattractive. Like, I'm not even kidding. To me, I say reframe your mind. Like, I think the episode is actually titled Disinterest is Unattractive. Don't get sad. Get the ick. Like, if you can think of yourself as all your best qualities and all the great things about you, then if you're true to yourself, if you are the most like authentically you person, like you show up as your raw, real self. And if somebody doesn't like you, then what that tells you is simply that you two are just not compatible enough to actually be together. So it doesn't have anything to do with there being something wrong with you. It's like, if you were to go out and fake it and like be something that you're not and they didn't like that, that's a little bit different, because that's when you're able to be like, you know what, maybe I could have done this better. Maybe I could have done that differently. And we've all done that, where we've been like trying to tweak certain things about ourselves and then we're not 100% us. And then, you know, so if in that case, then I wouldn't blame you if you sat back and were overthinking things and being like, I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that, because it just wasn't genuinely you. But if you're genuinely you and someone doesn't like that, literally all it tells you is that you're just not compatible. You know, that's just not the right person for you. There's nothing necessarily wrong with you, but like, there's a pot for every lid. There's somebody for everybody. And so you are not for that person, which means that person is not for you. And so I always say, you know, to give girls like just like that, you know, unapologetic confidence boost, it's like, that's then ick, like then ew. If they don't like the genuine real you, the you as your best self and whatnot, then like you shouldn't even, that person is unattractive at that point. It's like, I'm unattracted to this. And I don't mean physically. It's just like, I'm no longer romantically attracted to you, because if you don't see me for how great I see myself, then that's just that. And I get it. You know, it's so easy to have a confidence like damper and just like rain on your parade if someone you're excited about doesn't feel the same way about you. But I truly just think of it as compatibility being the most, like, that's the forefront. That's the most important thing. So maybe you like them on date one or date two, but probably down the line, you would have not liked them either, because something mm-hmm. would have come up that just goes to show that you guys are not meant for each other. You guys are not 100% compatible. And that's as simple as that. I don't think it's a personal thing. I don't think anyone should take it personally when things don't work out. I just think that it's an energetic thing. It's a compatibility thing. That's it. It's just when two people are not meant to be together, they're just not going to be.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Like, you can't force it. You can't wait around. You can't change who you are. What would be the benefit of changing who you are for somebody else? Because if you, let's say you end up with them then what? You have to be a different person for the rest of your life? Or you're always afraid that, okay, I'm going to like show the real me. And now we're like, we've been together for a year. Now we live together. Now we're married. I'm going to show the real me now because they've been with me long enough. They like me, so I can do no harm. Like, no, if you suddenly change your entire personality, they're going to be like, what? Who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's actually a scary thing because that really happens. Yeah. And people will go on the first few dates with somebody, then they end up committing to that person. And then, you know, I feel like it starts to like come out around like the 3-4 month mark. That's usually what they say. They say like the first 3 months is somebody showing you like their best self and what they want you to see. And then after that is when maybe they become their more real self. Not to say that all of a sudden this mask comes off and everybody turns into, I don't know, freaking Dracula. But it's more just like people become more comfortable being themselves around that 3 month mark is, I think, usually what they say. So, you know, from like that 3 to 6 to 9 months, like as you're approaching that year, people just become more comfortable being themselves at that point. And so if you like somebody upfront for certain things, or they like you upfront for certain things that aren't necessarily true to them, it's going to reveal itself anyway. People's true colors always show. So like you just said, what do you get out of not being yourself? Nothing, because it's not going to last. It's not sustainable. It's not, you're never going to be able to fake who you are as a person. That's why I hate the saying fake it till you make it. I think just authenticity all the way.
Wow. Yeah, I'm now anti-fake it till you make it too. You've convinced me. I've turned to the other side. I'm usually opposed to encouraging icks and like an ick list and just seeing something about someone being like ick. But I think you gave a really good use case for the ick. And I do encourage people to turn somebody not being interested in you into an ick.
Yeah. And it's not, listen, I'm not one of those either who's like, oh, ick, you know, his shoe was falling off his foot the wrong way. Like, I'm not like that. But it's like, if you can just tell yourself like, ew, like I'm so confident in myself and I'm so sure of myself that if this person doesn't, see that in me, then just like, ew, you know, and it's more of just for yourself rather than for them. It's not even about a physical thing. Like I said, it's unattractive, but I don't mean all of a sudden they are ugly. I just mean like, I'm no longer attracted to this person because I'm more attracted to myself.
Yeah. Think about it with friendships. Like your friends love you for exactly who you are. And like you've had other friendships that have come and go, or you've gone out, hung out with somebody once, and then you kind of like didn't want to see each other again because you didn't click that much. But you never have to beg your friends to like want to be with you or feel like you have to convince them to be your friend. And I think there's so many parallels between friendships and dating and romantic relationships. And like we all would be so much better off if we just approached dating in a similar way that we approach like making friends and growing closer to people.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. So we have some listener questions. The first one says, similar to your Dear Victoria, we have, hi, Alana. My ex and I broke up over a year ago. After a few months, we became involved in a situationship. 4.5 months ago, they ghosted me. Overall, we were together and involved for 3 years. Though he ghosted me, we shared a broad but well-connected community. I got the hint after I didn't hear from him for 5 days. I immediately changed some of my patterns, like not engaging with his social media, not going to locations I normally would because I knew he would be there too. His patterns were inconsistent, watching stories here, not talking there, etc. Eventually, we had less contact, but for about 2 months now, he's been at one of my regular locations on a consistent basis. We don't talk at all. These are public spaces, and we have a lot of the same friends. Do I have the right to ask him to not go to my regular spot? I stopped going to his, and him showing up to mine is causing me anxiety.
Oof. Part of me wants to just say no, like that you can't. The other part of me wants to say like, okay, if he is doing it intentionally, knowing like this is where you go all the time, like there's a million more places to go, so just go there. But part of me is like, if it were me, because I've been in that situation where I don't want to see somebody, I think if I'm the one with the issue of seeing that person, then I'm the one who wouldn't go to that place. Because if he has no problem being around you, then that's probably why he's continuing to go. I mean, you guys share a friend group. So if his friends are going, or whatever the case is, maybe not share a friend group, but if you know a bunch of the same people and you go out with a bunch of the same people, if he's going to go hang out with the people he knows, that's where they're going on a Friday night. And if he doesn't mind to be around you, then maybe he's just like, why would I sit home? Like, why would I stay home Why would I go somewhere else if that's where they are? That's what one side of me says. The other side is like, what are his intentions? You know, like, is it a neutral thing? Like you said, like, there's lack of contact. It's like, yeah, he watches my story sometimes. But to me, I always say that means absolutely nothing. It just means that they're using social media. Like, I watch people's stories all the time and I'm like, oh, whatever, you know. So on that end, then I'm like, I don't know. What are the intentions there? Is he doing it to be spiteful? Is he intentionally being inconsiderate of your feelings? Does he know that he's causing this toward you? Like, it doesn't hurt to just communicate and just ask, what's the deal? What's the goal here? Because I don't want to go to my spot. So, you know, you could always just reach out and kind of find out first what the intentions are. Because in that case, if he has bad intentions, then I would probably be like, well, then maybe just don't. He should not be showing up. So I'm kind of back and forth, but I think it all depends on what the intentions are. He could either be super neutral and just not care and he's not realizing it, or he's being inconsiderate of her feelings and that's just a no-no.
Yeah, I agree. Knowing how a guy's brain works, I imagine he's literally not thinking twice
not
about
thinking
it. And he's
it,
like,
yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm going to this place because our friends are going and, oh, she's going there too. Like, we're both chill and fine with it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if – and I definitely prefer direct communication, but because it might be more painful for you to approach this directly, like, since you guys do have a lot of friends in common, is there any friend who can be like, oh, like, how is it? You guys, like, both go to the same spot. Like, is it normal when you're both there? And kind of just get a read on him being like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm hoping to, like, talk to her, or, like, it's weird that she's still going there, you know, and just kind of gauge it from that response. But I would also say, like, if it's bothering you, just ask your friends to go to a different place.
Yeah.
Like, your friends would not be opposed to that. And if they are, then, like, that's a different problem.
Yeah, then then get some new friends. But I always say, like, if you're the one with the problem, then, like, just excuse yourself and go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this next one says, I'm in a pattern I need to break, and I know this. I'm potentially self-sabotaging with the emotionally available men that I'm choosing. I find myself doubling down with affection when a boy starts to pull away. I'm in a deep spiral of pretty girl comparison and jealousy and fear of abandonment. I don't trust people now when they say they have feelings for me, which is making me more avoidant than I've ever been. So cue the question, how do I break this cycle? How do I heal my attachment wounds while honoring my anxiously attached tendencies? How do I trust someone when they say they're excited about me? I'm 30 and would love to find a secure version of myself and eventually a secure version of love, but I'm pretty scared of getting hurt again. I don't want to continue perpetuating this idea that relationships equal rejection and heartbreak. It's just been a while since I've known secure love and it's starting to feel parasitic.
Whoa. Okay. That was deep. So I think for starters, let's go back to the whole, like, what was she getting at? That she pushes more when they pull away more?
Yeah, I think she's experienced rejection over and over that she, like, is grasping on. Yeah, she's trying to prevent it when she feels like it's happening.
You can't prevent what's meant to be. Like, you can't prevent what's meant to happen. You have to just, like, let what's meant to happen happen. I think if you have the mindset of, like, believing in divine timing and divine reasoning, then you'll know that things happen when they're supposed to and exactly how they're supposed to, which means that people enter your life when and how they're supposed to, and people exit your life when and how they're supposed to. That's my biggest thing when it comes to, like, all the different, like, attachment styles and whatnot. I really try to focus more on the divine timing and divine reasoning so that I'm able to tell myself this is happening exactly when and how it's supposed to, which goes back to the whole thing then, like, how she's saying, how do I, not to say prevent rejection, but how do I, like, move on from rejection? It might sound like so simple or so cliche, but at the end of the day, like, this is all just part of the process. Like, this is all just part of you getting to that next step to, you know, meeting the right person and whatnot. But I think what she's stressing too much is the end of the, like, of that process, like, is the meeting somebody part. You have to detach from the outcome. You have to detach from, like, okay, at the end of this process, I'm going to meet somebody. So, like, I need to just, like, try to figure out which one is going to be the guy. Instead, I think spend this time during this process, letting things unfold how they're supposed to, and invest your time into bettering yourself. Focus on yourself, pick up hobbies, no matter what it is, you could learn a new language. You could do what I did, which I took up pottery. I loved going to pottery. That was so much fun. Whatever it might be, sports, anything, pick up hobbies, invest your time into that and allow your mind to be like open to fun, new things that are just you investing in yourself and you bettering yourself, and detach from the outcome of like the whole dating process. That's when people are way too hyper fixated on like the rejection and things of that sort, and tell yourself like everything happens, like I said, divine reasoning, divine timing, when and how it's supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, I think it's important to look back at your situations gone wrong and the relationships that ended poorly and the times that you felt abandoned or jealous or rejected. Like, look back at those and figure out what can you learn from them, mm-hmm. or at what point do you wish you could go back and say, okay, hey, Alana, like, let's leave the situation because I already don't feel good and I have a feeling this isn't going to end well. And if you could even like write down some things that you can now point to in hindsight of like, oh, this was the turning point where I wish I walked away, or maybe this is something I could have said or a question I could have asked to figure out what they were looking for, what their intentions were. Like, write those down to hold yourself accountable, because everything that happens is a part of your journey, but and it is getting you a step closer to what you want and to the person that you're going to become. But like, I went through absolute hell and back when I was single. And I kept repeating those patterns until I took a really deep look at what I was allowing to happen, the behavior I was accepting. And I really had to say like, okay, I did this and in the future, I don't want to feel that way. So if I hear somebody say this thing, or if I feel in my gut that this situation is turning into what it was with that guy, like, I'm going to cut it off. And mm-hmm. I think that is how you become stronger. That is how you can learn and feel less attached, like Victoria said, like, to the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly what you just said with reflecting, I think journaling is so big and not enough people do it. One thing that throughout being single that I always journaled about was not only what I wanted in a partner, but the type of partner I wanted to be. And yeah. There were definitely times where I was not embodying the traits that I had written down. So if I put like, these are like my top 20 things, just making up that number, that I want in a man, and these are the top 20 things that I want to be for that man. And then, like, you know, one thing I would always put is that I really wanted to be like really feminine and really kind and just be able to really embody like a softer energy. And in dating, because I was so often disappointed, I think my natural reflex was to like be on the defense mode, and I really tended to embody like a very masculine energy and a very just like control freak energy. And I felt like if I don't like do it, then it's not going to get done. Like if I don't make it happen, then they're not, then it'll never happen the right way. Like I can only rely on myself. That was my mindset a lot of the time. I couldn't ask anyone for anything. I couldn't rely on anyone for anything. Like only me. And so whenever I would find myself like tapping into those energies, I was like, okay, I'm not being the partner that I want to be. I'm not being the version of me that I want to be. And I was definitely able to pinpoint specific moments where that happened. So I think that's a big thing. If you could journal like who you want to be and how you want to be in relationships, you'll be able to hold yourself accountable, like Alana just said, and pick out like the times where, you know, maybe not to say necessarily red flags, but maybe like your like, again, I don't want to say toxic traits. I don't want to say red flags, but like,
when you feel like you're not able to be those things.
When you're just not able to be your best self. There you go. I feel like I'm so used to saying like toxic traits and
red flags. I found myself trying to avoid the term red flag. I was like, look back in hindsight and find things that felt off.
Find that thing.
Those things. Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, we all have a little bit of yellow flags in us, and we do. We all have some traits, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh my God, this has been so fun. I know we could talk for hours and hours, but I have one final question for you. And that is, what is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received or have to give?
Ooh, okay. This is going to be like a deep one.
Let's hear it.
This was actually when I really started to like pick up hobbies. This was when I decided to move back home. I was living in Miami at the time, and I decided to move back closer to my family and just like really started to enjoy my life more, because there was a point where I was really like, I felt like I was running out of time. Like I was really, mind you, I was 26. Okay. So maybe even 25. I might've just turned 26 at that time. And I was getting like really upset. And so I was working with a woman and she said to me, you have to live your life as if like in the worst case scenario, she's like, I'm not saying this is going to happen to you, but as if you never meet your partner. And it gave me a perspective because she was like, you have to live your life loving your life no matter what. So what if you never met your soulmate in this lifetime? What if you never got married? What if you never have kids? Like, just what if that never happened for you? Are you going to hate your life for the rest of your life? Like, you cannot live your life like that. You cannot live your life always feeling incomplete, always feeling like something is missing. You have to really decide, like, I'm going to love my life no matter what. I'm going to love my life single or not. And it was a very hard pill to swallow. And I was very emotional being like understanding and grasping that perspective because I was like, no, that will never happen to me. Like, I know that I'm not meant for that. And she's like, no, I'm not saying that you are. But the point is that you're getting into a point where you're like hating being single, which means that you're like hating yourself. You're like hating your life. And if you're living your life hating your life, you're that much less likely to even meet somebody because you're just unhappy. And you have to love yourself, love your life, and be content, and then let everything else like fall into place as they would. And I think that around that time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to move back by my family because I think that was a big thing. I was like living alone in Miami. I had some friends, but not like my people. Yeah. And I was like, I think my environment is a big thing here. I need to be surrounded by love more because when you're like feeling the lack of love altogether, then that lack of romantic love makes a big, like, it starts to just feel like a big hole. So I was like, I just need to be surrounded by more love, have more fun. Like I said, I started picking up pottery, just like doing things for myself. And it wasn't until after I did all that, literally 2 years after that, then I met my boyfriend. And I met him while being in already like a very happy place. And now I'm just even happier. But I was much better than I was 2 years prior when I was like hating life.
Yeah, I snaps to all of that. I couldn't possibly agree more. You can't put all of your eggs in the boyfriend basket. You can't. No. Like, you have to like, you don't have to love who you are because it's really hard to do, but you have to like who you are and the life that you have. And I think that is that point when most people do end up finding somebody because they're not putting all this pressure on needing someone to complete them. It's just like, oh, I have a great life and all of these things that make me me and that bring me joy. And if I meet someone now, it'd be the cherry on top.
Right. Exactly. Listen, yeah, it's perfectly fine to be like, I love my life even more now that I have somebody, totally. But it's just not okay to live life so, so empty and so sad. And like, I know it happens and mental health is a real thing and it's something that people need to work on, but then do that, work on it, you know?
Absolutely.
And I was not, I was like, I hit a low point at that point. Cause I think like a couple friends maybe got pregnant or engaged and I'm like, fuck my life. Like, you know, and now I have friends in long-term relationships that are like, I guarantee that you get married and have kids before me now. I'm like, you know what? I hope so.
Yeah. I love it. Victoria, thank you so, so much for being here. Where can everybody find you? Shout out all the things.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I am on Instagram and TikTok, victoria.alario, A-L-A-R-I-O. My social media handle is the same everywhere. And then For the Girls is my podcast that you can listen anywhere podcasts are streaming. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the things. And it's also on Instagram and TikTok as forthegirls.podcast. So I throw a little dot in there, my personal and my podcast.
Consistency. I love it. You guys really have to check out For the Girls. Blow that up. Give her a 5-star rating and review everywhere and follow her. She's incredible. And Victoria, this has been so amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.